that I still have. This is the word of the Lord.
Greetings to all of you participating in this joint mission conference. Acts 1:8 is our DNA for faithful gospel witness in a broken and suffering world. The COVID global pandemic has been an assault to everyone and incredible suffering for many. Into the teeth of COVID, and because of God's manifest presence, what the enemy has intended for the catastrophic ruin of the church is instead launching fresh renewal within the church. Around the globe and during lockdowns, we are witnessing the birth of innovative advancements and strategies led by the Spirit of God, whose mission is to bring access to Jesus. Amen. So I ask you, what is our primary foundation for faithful gospel witness in a broken and suffering world? Acts 1:8 provides the DNA for seeing the kingdom of God moving fully from heaven to earth. Acts 1:8 are Jesus's last words. Do we realize the power of last words? In 1995, I was in Indonesia when my dear father died, and I missed an opportunity to receive last words from him. In 2001, I was at the bedside of my father-in-law, who I greatly loved, waiting in expectation for him to regain consciousness after a surgery. But he didn't. And again, I longed for last words. These last words came out of a powerfully summarized declaration of all that was needed by his followers to see the kingdom of God established on earth through faithful gospel partnership. An incredible final moment on Mount Olivet, integrating his life, his suffering, death on the cross, his resurrection, summarizing the final instructions given over 40 days to his closest followers and friends of what more than anything else they needed to know and apply. The stage, so to speak, was set. Yet we read in Acts 1:6, "So when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?'" That was the wrong question. Verse 7, he says, "It is not for you to know the times and seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. This is what you need to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." A moment later, he ascended up into heaven, gone. Wow, what a defining moment. I wish I could have been there. Today, we have summarized our Acts 1:8 DNA components in the following way: that we be Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, mission-focused people as we disciple the nations. This is the mission of God. We passionately pray this vision prayer as our primary DNA foundation and motivation for faithful gospel witness in a broken and suffering world. Pray with me the vision prayer. Oh God, with all our hearts, we long for you. Come, transform us to be Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, mission-focused people, multiplying disciples everywhere. I love the theme of JMC, and I am very blessed and honored to bring one of the key messages for this exceedingly important event. Jesus perfectly prepared the context for Acts 1:8. Such powerful and concise words, and when applied, launches spectacular transformation, as we see throughout the book of Acts and in unique global contexts today. Paul, the greatest church planting apostle, is a foundational example to each and every one of us for faithful gospel witness in a broken and suffering world. Acts 1:8 is a key verse to be applied in the life of each and every believer. Paul does this breathtakingly in the book of Acts as a key gospel partner, becoming a faithful witness, a living stone in the foundation of the Church of Jesus Christ, and therefore an amazing example for you and for me and for every believer, especially today, amongst the backdrop of COVID-19. Acts 1:8 DNA is dynamically lived out in Philippians 1 through three dynamic realities of faithful gospel partnership in a broken and suffering world. First of all, faithful gospel partnership is primary as God makes all things complete. and faithful gospel partnership advances amidst each and every circumstance. Thirdly, faithful gospel partnership moves beyond belief into suffering for Jesus. Philippians is generally known as the epistle of joy, of thanksgiving, and of prayer. Paul's COVID-like experience is being in chains in prison. Now, Paul is not foreign to suffering. The reality of imprisonment, being in chains, and suffering is interspersed throughout this epistle and forms his courageous core posture for faithful gospel witness, exemplified and developed for us in chapter 1. Take note that Paul did not start as an example of a dynamic, courageous servant in faithful gospel partnership. He was Saul, religious-centered, self-empowered, law-focused, the passionately motivated, ultra-legalistic fanatic who was determined to stop the church and the gospel in its tracks. He presided over the stoning of Stephen. He was merely a brilliant Jewish terrorist. While one could question his understanding and acceptance of the Old Testament promises of a coming Messiah who would establish the kingdom of righteousness, you could not question his passionate zeal to obediently follow through on what he thought was right. And while on a terrorist excursion on the road to Damascus to further persecute the church, Dr. Luke, the author of Acts, records three times for great emphasis Paul's amazing conversion. When brought miraculously into the direct presence of Jesus, Saul, suddenly blinded, knows that a power from God that he had not yet experienced was at work, and he falls to the ground and immediately asks, "Who are you, Lord? What would you have me to do, Lord?" It's just like God to transform the unlikeliest people and the worst of sinners for his purpose. From stubbornly determined self-reliance, Paul was first humbled, but he fully yielded to God and became one of the greatest instruments in God's church planting strategy. This overall transformation in a difficult and suffering period of Israel's history did not happen all at once, and it wasn't a nice, safe, and easy process, nor will that likely be the case with God's called servants today. Opposition, suffering, and pain became commonplace for Paul, and Jesus' last words are just as preparatory for his gospel servants today. Oh, hear the word of God today, participants of this joint mission conference. I have prayerfully sensed the leading of the Lord to preach a very challenging message, a biblical reminder that just as Paul, we must be courageous, faithful gospel servants in a broken and suffering world. Let's examine the dynamic three core realities that Paul makes as an expression of Acts 1:8 DNA faithful gospel partnership. Faithful gospel partnership is primary as God makes all things complete. We see that in verse 6 when Paul states, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus." Now, God never wastes what he is doing. Paul, in prison and in tender reflection of being called by God to reach the people of Philippi, acknowledges this amidst a posture of joyful thanksgiving. The advancement of the gospel is the focus for faithful gospel partnership of servants of God who are Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, and mission-focused. Paul, having been brought into access to Jesus, faithfully brought the people of Philippi into access to Jesus, into full gospel access. And this launches thankful, joyful prayer for that which has been accomplished through partnership. We see two enormously important truths intertwined through these extremely tender verses of prayer and partnership. Paul's focus is the advancement of the gospel. Bringing access to Jesus is the natural outflow of Acts 1:8 DNA. Paul had received power when the Holy Spirit came upon him, and he had been a faithful gospel witness, which has created an incredible bond with these dear fellow servants. Prayer launches faithful gospel witness, and the gospel is advanced through partnership. Paul states, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. To you, Chinese background believers, pastors, and lay people, I say thank you for your partnership in the gospel, for faithful ministry partnership with Global Ministry, involved in Acts 1:8 Alliance DNA, which is the foundational core for the kingdom of God to advance through the gospel. I take great honor in saying thank you in memory of Robert Jaffrey, who went in obedience to God's call to China. He gave his life in faithful gospel partnership, bringing access to Jesus in that great and spiritually needy nation, and later among the diaspora Chinese in Indonesia and regions beyond where fewer none had heard. I also say thank you in memory of Ruby Johnson, who was involved passionately as a faithful Acts 1:8 DNA gospel partner among the diaspora Chinese in Regina, Saskatchewan. And look at what God has built upon these two faithful gospel servants in China, across other parts of Southeast Asia, as well as across Canada. This is a historical prayer of thanksgiving, and we collectively offer up to God for this chapter of our DNA. But how about what is being done now? On behalf of Venture Global Ministries, I thank you, CCACA and our Chinese Alliance churches and colleagues, for your partnership in raising yearly over $3 million for the Global Advance Fund and special projects, for holding joint mission conferences such as this, calling forth and releasing your sons and your daughters, yes, even yourselves as second career people, giving your best to be engaged passionately in the Great Commission. Each year, new candidates are tracked and further prepared through the Dedicators Fellowship and our candidate office to go to strategic places across our globe. Our pre-departure orientation in 2021 features 9 of the 11 next candidates that are Chinese, and Aaron and Kay Tang and Leonard Lam are helping to facilitate their preparation to be sent into Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Thank you for sending arm in arm with Global Ministries 40 international workers, encompassing models from non-funded, partially funded, right through to fully funded personnel across our sun, sand, silk, and spice world, while addressing the needs of Chinese diaspora in Canada, and for fresh preparation in these days for a wave of post-COVID Chinese migrants expected across our C2C Canadian region. We prayerfully thank God for his planting of new churches in Canada, beyond the more than 100 that have already been established as your Jerusalem expression of mission outreach. I believe we are enjoying the best years of integrated partnership across our denomination. We have work to do, but I celebrate and give glory to God for what he is coordinating. It is my pure joy and thanksgiving to serve alongside of you in what I believe will be our best partnership in mission years moving forward, together, bringing access to Jesus through faithful gospel witness. It was my prayer as a regional leader 20 years ago that I would see the day that CCACA would grow a burden for the minority peoples of China that would be evidenced in sending Chinese Canadians among the two largest and least reached peoples we refer to as the U and T peoples, as well as partnering to reach the many tribal ethnic groups in other parts of China. This gospel partnership work amongst difficult to reach people and in difficult to access places can only be accomplished by the Holy Spirit coming upon us and being his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Thank you for the ways that you have entered into engagement in these contexts, as well as so many other challenging ministry locations. Partnership is primary, and we are thrilled with the interest and burden that is being expressed for people of South Asia in our new Gateway Initiative that was launched out of our General Assembly 2018 Focus Discernment. Might you become a part of this exciting effort. Today, we are thrilled that Chinese-Canadian international workers are populated across our most difficult-to-reach people and difficult-to-access places. We would like to mention all of their names, but it is not wise that we do so in such a public forum. All that Paul is thankful for, this great gospel partnership, right up to the moment, is foundational to what God is in the process of completing, verse 6. God begins a good work in people through the work of the gospel, through transformation by his Spirit into Christ's likeness. The good work is both the further transformation of the faithful gospel servant, as well as the completion of the advancement of the gospel itself. As faithful servants of the gospel are called, yield to God, and go forth in obedience, they, as Paul, are becoming more like Christ, a work that will be completed in the day of Christ, when he returns, and every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Dear brothers and sisters, will we today yield as never before to God in faithful gospel partnership, which is primary as God makes all things complete? Faithful gospel partnership advances amidst each and every circumstance. Look at verses 12 and 14. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Paul models for us his courageous servant capacity to not be undone by difficult circumstances, whatever they may be. He gives evidence of a high capacity to live in full confidence of the sovereignty of God. We too can be convinced that God will guide his called gospel servants through challenges in Canada and others outside of Canada, not primarily for what we accomplish for God, but for what God is committed to accomplish in developing us and in developing others that are partnered with us for the purpose of being faithful to Christ's last words. Paul instructs that his difficult circumstances of imprisonment and suffering advances the gospel. Christ is placed at the center of his circumstances, and this increases the boldness and courage of others through their identification with Christ in these circumstances. Paul also points out that regardless of the motives of the imperfect servants who preach Christ, that which is preached as the word of God will accomplish the purpose for which it is given. Hallelujah. So faithful pastors, international workers, lay people, how might you be viewing the setbacks associated with COVID? This is a test to the principle that Paul is modeling from prison. Many have given up hope and are struggling greatly with further complications of mental health, such as depression and anxiety, as well as out of control fear. This reality seems true for people across all professions. Yet at the same time, we see people that are alive and energized amidst the doom and gloom to move forward the gospel in fresh and innovative ways, with Acts 1:8 DNA being the positive difference as they walk and sovereign dependence upon the Spirit of God. Your international workers, Jerry and Carrie, cannot presently be in the exact place they have been called to serve in. Yet they have not retreated to Canada, but with others have determined to let God be sovereign in these present circumstances, enable them to become part of an effective new initiative to develop digital technology platforms that supports innovative ways to bring access to Jesus where few or none have heard. On February the 24th, my wife and I received a call from our personal doctor indicating that I have stage 4 advanced prostate cancer that has metastasized into 4 additional places. In less than a year, my PSA had climbed to 13.7 from an acceptable range of 3.7. In November, I had still been running 8 kilometers 2 to 3 times a week and feeling good. This circumstance has given us fresh opportunity to determine whether we will lose our hope because of a challenging health setback, or whether we will see God as not only sovereign in these circumstances, but sovereign for what he will do through these circumstances as a God who delights to redeem all things that are directed at his servants in a broken and suffering world. We are delighted that we do not walk alone in the community of faith, but are being upheld through the prayers of so many people. The enemy of our souls can ravage our bodies through sickness and setback, but he cannot rob the peace of God that is deep in the soul of the servant of God, nor can he restrict the days of life that God alone numbers for his children. By God's grace and for his glory, I am convinced that what has happened to me will really serve to advance the gospel. It is part of the journey for how I am to be completed by God at the day of Christ. God is sovereign, not just in difficult circumstances. Being perfectly sovereign also demands that he is ultimately sovereign for the circumstances and has a redemptive purpose behind it. Paul was truly convinced of this truth. He saw his setback of imprisonment as having a divine purpose to even better represent Christ. If we live fully into our Acts 1:8 DNA, this is the posture of the faithful gospel servant in a broken and suffering world. We are not able to be courageous in ourselves, but when the Holy Spirit is upon us, he empowers his servants. He pours into his faithful servants his courage, which is exactly what is needed to advance the gospel, regardless of the difficulty or challenge or result. Indeed, this past year, we lost Darcy Calder, one of our dear international workers, on assignment in the Middle East. But that life, given for the advancement of the gospel, is not a life given in vain. And this is why in verses 19 to 24, Paul declares, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." He is truly able to see that he is a winner either way, and it is up to God to confirm his will and plan. And with that conviction firmly in place, Paul now moves us deeper into the challenging foundational reality that is crucial for us to have as faithful Acts 1:8 DNA servants. Faithful gospel partnership moves beyond belief into suffering for Jesus. This third dynamic reality continues to normalize the faithful gospel servant's expectation for suffering. I mentioned earlier that I have been led to bring not an easy message, but a challenging one. Suffering is not generally what any servant of God would set as their goal. Yet Paul says in verses 29 and 30, "For it has been granted for you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him," and I would say believe in Jesus as a faithful servant is entirely normal, "but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had and now hear that I still have." Paul, in these verses, continues to strengthen the core purpose of Acts 1:8 DNA, to advance the gospel. He exemplifies this third dynamic reality of being a living example of a faithful gospel servant of God by stating that you should not only believe. For how many servants of the gospel has it been their expectation to avoid suffering at every decision and effort? It is somehow accepted that belief alone is the full package. There is even a conviction that suffering is bad, is wrong, is perhaps the outflow of sin, and is somehow to be seen as best as an exception in faithful gospel partnership. Paul is saying to all of us when he uses the pronoun of you, a faithful gospel servant needs a readiness built into them for suffering for the sake of Christ. Something happens when the servant of God is truly empowered by the Spirit of God. And Paul is not an exception. Throughout the book of Acts, we read that upon suffering for Jesus and faithful gospel advancement, the disciples with joy considered themselves worthy to suffer for the one who suffered on the cross for all of humanity, for all the ethnies and nations of humanity. Verse 27, 28, 29 puts us all into perfect perspective as an extension of our Acts 1:8 foundational DNA. "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ." That's being Christ-centered. "So that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit." Going back to Paul's words in verse 19, "For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ," that's being Spirit empowered. Now back to verse 27, "with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel." That's being mission focused. "And not frightened by anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation and that from God." In today's COVID reality, this is an ideal spot in this message to say to all of you that we stand in solidarity with you in the present escalation of racism towards Asian people across the globe. And we are not immune from it here in Canada. Some of you have experienced the horrors of being victimized. This is wrong. This is horrible. And I pray for you in the spirit of this message to see yourselves as being worthy to suffer for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We love you. Let the Spirit of Christ fill you so that you are not giving into fear, that you are not frightened by anything by your opponents, that you are not thinking you are alone. This is clear to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. This posture as faithful gospel servants of God is only possible because of the foundation that is our DNA as declared by Jesus in his last words and recorded in Acts 1:8, that we be unleashed upon the nations. I've been reading a devotional for the past 5 years that takes me through all of the scriptures in a year and each gospel four times. It is written by Dick Brogden, an international worker who has lived in four Muslim countries. It is called Live Dead Joy. It's the theme for dying to ourselves, to live with joy with Jesus Christ in the sufferings that we should expect in a broken and suffering world. Brogden writes, the temple was torn to unleash the presence of God on the world. Pentecost was made possible by Calvary. When the incarnate God was torn apart on the cross, this allowed for his presence to be unleashed among the nations. A suffering lifestyle does not reject days of preparation, celebration, or restoration. A suffering lifestyle is a joyful life, one that is willing to be torn so that Jesus might be unleashed on the world. If you do not have joy in your suffering, you are not suffering God's way. You are just miserable. This is exactly in line with the realities that Paul himself exemplifies and invites us into in Philippians 1. Suffering for the believer is a theme throughout the Word of God. We cannot suffer for the sake of Jesus apart from the power of Jesus and the Spirit of Jesus profoundly released in us and through us as Acts 1:8 faithful gospel partners. In conclusion, Venture is all about bringing access to Jesus where few or none have heard. Gospel advancement is the message that Jesus lived out on the earth, shaped and commissioned his faithful servants to embrace and embody through his last words in Acts 1:8. It is the DNA and foundation of being faithful gospel servants in a broken and suffering world. To be faithful with presenting the message holistically, in love and deed, that the receiver has heard with their ears and with their hearts and are given the privilege to decide what to do with the gospel. Today, 40% of the world's population, represented in well over 2,000 people groups, have not yet been given that sacred opportunity. They do not yet have access to Jesus in their language and cultural context. Today, Global Ministries, through our 220 personnel, are living out the gospel incarnationally in over 30 countries among more than 60 people groups, and there is so much more work yet to be done. God is uniquely working among Chinese people to be a blessing to the nations, to the diaspora Chinese, among whom few or none have heard, and to go through, among, and with, to the least reach, numbering nearly 3.5 billion people. The Word of God is calling you today to respond. The Spirit of God is calling you today to respond to the advancement of the gospel as Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, mission-focused, faithful gospel servants of God, making disciples everywhere. Please pray with me. To you, our great triune God, oh, how we love you and thank you that access to Jesus was brought to each of us. As a beautiful gift, you have spoken to many hearts through your spoken word today. I know that you have spoken to me, and I want to, along with Paul and faithful gospel servants all throughout centuries, say yes to being a believer who, regardless of my profession, understands that Jesus' last words were for every one of us who believe and who understand that in a world filled with suffering, we are also ready to suffer for Jesus. For the sake of the gospel, bringing access to Jesus among the underserved in Canada and where few or none have heard outside of our nation. Today, I say yes to you and I ask for a fresh filling, O Spirit of God, for faithful gospel partnership that is primary with you, God, who makes all things complete, for faithful gospel partnership advancing amidst each and every circumstance, and for faithful gospel partnership that moves beyond belief into suffering for Jesus. Jesus, you suffered on the cross for me. And your last words from Acts 1:8, when applied fully, means that I will also trust in the Spirit of God to enable me to suffer as well for the joy in joining Jesus, advancing his gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.